Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we're going to be covering The Umbrella Academy Season 2, Episode 3, The Swedish Job. And Season 2, Episode 4, The Majestic 12.
I feel like sometime this season I need to get like Swedish fish or something. I just am not like into gummy fish, so it's like a thing.
That's so specific, Mom. You don't like gummy fish?
I don't like all.
There's only like one thing where that, there's only like one candy. You could just say you don't really like Swedish fish. There's only one candy that's a gummy fish that I'm aware of. Well, I suppose there are those like gummy dolphin things that they're, or sharks or something. I don't know. I'm probably wrong.
Never gonna sing Baby Shark.
No, it's the only one we're aware of, but I mean, either way.
Okay. In any case, yeah, I do feel like I should do that sometime this season, you know, before that becomes irrelevant, but I haven't done it. And I also have not, like, I feel like I should come up with a Swedish drink. Haven't done that either. So, whatever. So we have our usual, and it's going to be caveats today, because I just feel like we've done a lot of disclaimers. So it's caveats today. And they include that there will be cursing, there will be spoilers, and we're having things to drink. What are you having to drink?
Sweet tea.
Swedish tea?
Sure. If you want it to be.
Okay, fine. I tried.
I don't know what you want from me, Mom. I have sweet tea.
Well, I am having a porn star martini. My rationale for this is that while not a porn star per se, Klaus is arguably like, you know, kind of that guy. He's a little flashy. He's a little bit not quite right. But in any case, I did it mostly because I like this drink. And it's been a while since I've had it. And part of the reason it's been a while is one of the ingredients is passion fruit juice or passion fruit puree or syrup or whatever. And we've gotten some for the crack baby cocktails. I will tell you right now that after making this, we are down to like half of that huge bottle of passion fruit.
I was going to mention, we did have a lot of crack babies when I was home for spring break.
That sounds so bad.
You know what I'm talking about.
And yet I'm going to be having porn stars. So the porn star martini, and I'm going to read it because it comes out of the physical book. There are three variations in here. I'm going to get to that because I think at least one of them we should probably use for Bridgerton. But the porn star martini has, its ingredients are vanilla vodka, lemon juice, simple syrup, but I use the passion fruit syrup because it's already mixed, pineapple juice, and Prosecco. And it is really, really good and fluffy and fruity and yummy. And it's a nice like variation from the crack baby. But there are two others, and I think this watermelon porn star would be an absolutely fantastic variation to use. So the watermelon porn star has Prosecco, obviously, Chambord, watermelon juice instead of the pineapple juice, simple syrup, lemon juice, and vanilla vodka. And I think I made that like one time before and it was really, really tasty and I liked it. There is also a peat star martini, which is basically the same as a porn star, except it is made with peated whiskey rather than vanilla vodka. And I think I've done that one too, and also is super tasty. But because Bridgerton usually has, you know, some sort of sexual something that would warrant, you know, porn stars, I think we can justify that, don't you?
Sure. Anyway, let's get into season 2, episode 3, The Swedish Job. Flashback to 1960, Klaus is kicked out of a diner and an old rich lady takes an interest in him and kind of becomes his sugar mama, something like that.
He becomes his boy toy. Her boy toy, sorry.
Yes. He shows her friends that he can levitate, but it's really just Ben lifting him up, which is very funny.
It's super and they're playing Sunny in the background. Sunny. Yeah, it's super funny.
He joins some hippies in 1961 that are road tripping in Mexico. This is also a time they're like in a big van, and Ben shows an interest in a girl in the van who's also reading because he likes to read, and that's all we know about Ben.
Well, right, but it's a double decker bus. I don't think he joins them. I think they join him because he's
Yeah.
already become like this
It's
prophet.
not even a double decker bus, Mom. He's just on the roof.
Whatever.
Anyway, in 1962, they go to India and he kind of gets like baptized in a way, like Klaus does, and he starts getting worshipped like a prophet. By
They're all trying
1960,
to touch him and grab stuff off of him. It's weird.
it, by 1963, he has started a cult called Destiny's Children, which killed me. I forgot that's what they were called, and so I like burst out laughing. And he's
Don't go
like,
chasing
"Come, Destiny's
waterfalls.
Children."
Don't go chasing waterfalls. Oh God, that's
I
too funny.
can't. He wants to escape their clinginess, and so he abandons them. We saw the effects of that, like him leaving for Dallas. Then we go over to Lila, who's patching Diego up after saving him because she followed him for some reason because she thought that he was, we'll get into it. She followed them. Vanya is driving away her feelings, mo metaphorically and physically, and so she. She is stopped by the milk truck and the Swedes, but drives away as soon as they open fire. She like r gets run off the road by like,
Correct. Yeah.
and then she runs out into a cornfield that's just there. And they run
Child
around.
of the corn. She is child of the
She is a child of the corn. Honestly, she does need to disappear into the cornfield.
That's just cruel.
I really couldn't care less. Anyway.
Right.
She a bit, yeah, she runs into the field. They like open fire on her trying to find her. She stupidly runs into one of them really easily, but as he shoots her, her powers reactivate, which it's a surprise. I mean, like, I guess she hasn't been in a life-threatening situation until this point, but I do find it surprising that she like just magically knows how to do this again, and she hasn't done this at all up to this point for like a month, which is fine, I guess, but either way, she stops the bullet from like getting to her, and he like she kind of, I don't know, she has a pulse that goes out from her and pushes all of them away, and then she runs away. We found out later she stayed in the fucking cornfield for no reason. I don't
All
know
right.
why. Like
Oh,
she
yeah.
also she has the car that still works. The car like she ran it off the road. She didn't like crash it, really. Like she literally like could have
That's
just
funny,
gotten
right?
into the car and left.
Well, yeah, but they shot into it and she did kind of wreck it off the road. And
Regardless, why are you staying in the fucking car? I'm not gonna
but
get
I do
into it.
I love this next part. So when they're shooting at her, and it's really kind of stupid the way they shoot at her, they like get in a triangle like they would shoot each other. It's like really dumb. The way they're shooting at her.
No,
But
they're not. They're less likely. They're unlikely to shoot each
they're
other.
like, no, they're closing in on her in a
They
triangular form.
are, but they're coming all. They're all coming in from the same kind of angle, though. Regardless, if I'm
Right.
remembering that
So
correctly.
in any case, when she forces him back, it's like making a crop circle, which in turn that like she basically did. So, but we see that later. Luther, meanwhile, goes for a run from his rooming house, and there are a bunch of little kids that are following him. And he sees a girl he thinks is Allison. It turns out not to be Allison, but like when he sees her, he trips, and all these little kids start making fun of him. Then we
One of them
see
calls him dipshit.
dipshit. He's like, okay, go on your way. But Five then blips into the corn, and he like comes out, and he says hi to Vanya. He's like, hi, Vanya, and she's like, oh, you know me? He's like, yeah, you want to come with me? Get away from the IKEA mafia. It's just too.
That's funny.
He's her powers, and he's like, he's glad that her powers are still intact. Luther then shows up at Jack Ruby's. Jack Ruby is making like spangled costumes of some kind, which is weird that he's making them himself. He seems to be the kind of guy who makes other people do things. It's just strange. But he's got like some big fight lined up for Luther. Luther then asks him if he can track down Allison because he now thinks Allison is alive and in this timeline, and gives her name to him. Allison shows up at Klaus's mansion, and she finds him in the pool, and they are both so thrilled to see each other. Like she like walk wades right into the pool fully clothed, and they hug, and it's really cute and sweet. And they talk about his cult, and he's like, it's not really a cult. She's like, it's a cult. I'm just telling you, it's a cult. And he finds out that Allison's married, and she gives her husband's name, and he's like, oh, we did time together. I love Klaus so much, and his energy this season is just amazing. Allison has not used her power since the whole Vanya thing, and she likes the fact that she's earned everything that she has right now. And then we see the handler has joined the time.
Also, I would like to mention, she mentions that she didn't speak for a whole year. And so I'm thinking about her relationship timeline with Raymond, because she got in 1961, I think. Yes, that sounds right. It must be 1961.
Year at this point.
Yes, about a year. And so like the first year they couldn't talk. And she must have gotten like a job at the salon or whatever she did.
We see a flashback of it later.
Okay. Either way, I'm just thinking about it. Regardless, like she and then like within that next year she convinces, hey, Raymond, marry me. And it's like, okay. And then they get married.
She's beautiful. And
I'm not saying she isn't. I'm just kind of like, that's a weird relationship timeline.
It's a weird relationship.
It's a very weird relationship.
And we'll see how weirder it gets.
Well, and I like Raymond, but he also seems like a more sensitive fellow who kind of wouldn't rush into things. You know what I mean? He seems like a planner. Yeah. So it made me confused about like, oh, well, it would make more sense if they were dating for like 2-ish years and then, or like a year and a half or something like that. And then he was like, okay, well, I want to marry you. And then they have been married for a year. That'd be one thing, but she couldn't talk for the first year. So
yeah, anyway, reveals some things about her, and I don't know if we need to talk about it now, but I mean, we'll talk about it after the next
but episode. Knowing what we know now, it's a weird relationship timeline. Anyway, the handler is disguised, and she goes to a pet shop.
Fits right in though, like this is for like her, you know, style and everything else fits right in.
Yes. She goes into a pet shop and she looks at the fish, specifically at like the treasure box that has like the bubbles coming out of it, all that stuff that comes into play later. And there's this boy who's like tapping at the fish and she scares the boy. That's basically all that is. Then Allison talks to her group and they are talking about postponing the sit-in that they planned for that day. But after Allison gives an impassioned speech about how they should do it right now, regardless of if Raymond is here, isn't here, they eventually choose to do the sit-in after voting on it. Then at the police station, the front desk officer sees his sandwich float in the air, yeah. And a message is typed out.
Yeah.
And a message is typed out saying, free Chestnut or die. It was Ben. Klaus greets Ray when he comes out and he tells him that he's his brother-in-law. Surprise! I don't look it, but we are brothers-in-law. And
poor Ray's kind of like, what in the hell is going on here?
Then Five tells Banya her life story. Leaving out the stuff about her causing the apocalypse, but mentioning that the apocalypse did happen. She remembers apparently nothing before a month ago, which is fucking stupid. And then I also put in my notes, why does she always have to be the most oblivious person? Like it was in the first season where like she was so oblivious to all the creepy shit that Leonard was doing, which you could say she was blinded by love or whatever that was, but like still it's weird. And then she has this situation and she's like, well, I lost my memory, so I have to be oblivious, meaning to give me so much exposition. I'm just like, what? I don't fucking care, Banya, you need to be more in the know than this. And like, she's never the one in the know. And I think that it would have been better if she just kind of like had her memories, but repressed them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Banya goes to call Sissy because the world's ending. Go ahead.
Right, yeah, and what Five tells her about the apocalypse is, oh, there was an asteroid impact that caused the apocalypse. But yeah, so what we see when Vanya calls Sissy is, and you know, thanks for this boring storyline, Harlan is listening to a record, the record skips, he hits it, he acts out, Sissy is trying to you know, control him when Vanya calls.
He bites her.
He bites her. I mean, kids do this stuff. They do.
I know, but like, what the fuck, Harlan?
He's a bit big for this kind of behavior, admittedly. But again, I
but we also know that his mental state is not the best. So
no, right, and he's got some very serious issues. Sissy is suddenly calling her Vanya. Like, the only time she's heard that name is when Luther used it, I guess.
No, she knew her name. That was the weird shit.
I did not remember that she knew her name. Anyway, so
yes.
But
because when Luther called her Vanya, she was like, "You know my name."
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that she knew her name.
It's just Mom, it's confusing and it's annoying. Let's move on. Yeah, but
up until this point, Sissy has not called her Vanya on the show.
I don't fucking care. It's weird.
The whole thing is fucking weird. So Five hangs up the phone and tells Vanya we have to stick together. And Vanya's like, no, I love her, kind of thing.
Whatever.
And Five's like, we gotta go find the others. We cut to Diego, who is just fixated on
this. Is actually really funny.
It is really funny. And Lila, basically, she hits him
in his wound.
In his wound, like, she definitely is she's trained. And so he talks about, like, I didn't expect to be shamed by my father. And Lila says that she had found her parents face down in the living room. Like, this is why she was worried about Diego, and, you know, that she found him face down, thought he was dying. And he asks her about, like, this situation. Her parents were killed in a home invasion, is what she says. And she found him living room at age 4. And Diego's sympathetic. Yes.
Yeah. Also, she mentions that the reason that she went to follow him was because she has this fear of abandonment because of that incident.
Right.
So, and there's also this really funny part where she reveals she doesn't hate him like she hates most people. But when he tries to kiss her, she just punches him in the face. And he's like, ow, I don't understand you.
And then she initiates sex.
Yeah, and then they have sex. And they throw their clothes at the, like, window that's in between, like, the room and, like, Elliot's, like, kitchen. I don't know why that's a feature. But,
I don't know why Elliot is making a tuna mold. This is fucking weird.
He's weird. Whatever. Poor Elliot.
Yeah.
And the handler reads up on Five's file.
Yeah, it's kind of cute because she's got both Five, his old pictures and his new pictures. Jack Ruby gives Luther Allison's address, and then it starts playing, if I ever do you wrong. Luther then goes to Allison's house. He arrives there at the same time that Ray arrives back from jail. And he asks for Allison Hargreaves, and Ray's like, oh, you mean Allison Chestnut? And he's like, that's my wife. And Lucy's kind of like, oh God. And he brought chocolates for Allison. But he starts eating them all, and they, like, sit in the kitchen, and then he's like, you know, binge eating and depressed.
It's so sad.
It is sad. And they've been married about a year, and Luther's just like, just give her a message that I need to talk to her. It's really
Ray is so sweet to him, though. He's very understanding, and he's just kind of like, well, thank you for stopping by. Oh, it's where are you staying? Oh, that's nice. I'm glad you're staying there. I hope you're doing well. He's very polite.
Yeah,
he's also very confused about how this white ape man is in any way related to his wife.
Well, and right, so, and Klaus, because he's seen both of them in like an hour. It's like, geez, what's going
it's
on?
A
here?
Lot to take in, and he has not talked to Allison about this at all, and because he didn't have the opportunity. And he can tell that she's been keeping stuff from him and all that stuff, because she apparently had mentioned that she had, like, friends up north or something, or, like, family up north, but never mentioned brothers. So, confusing. After that, Allison and her group stage their sit-in at the diner, and Klaus goes to the hardware store and finds Dave, a younger version of Dave. Ben realizes why they came to Dallas. Klaus is extremely awkward. He does not know what to say to this boy.
He's Ben just calls so it stalking. That he actually found him. I mean, he's like, oh my God.
Ben calls it stalking.
It's not.
Okay. When the paint is being mixed, like he like is just like, I need paint, and it's just like, okay, sure, I'll get you paint. And so like while the paint is being like mixed, Klaus gets flashbacks to Vietnam, and he's just like, oh god, he's going to die in Vietnam, I really don't want that to happen. And so Klaus tells Ben that it's none of his business what he's doing, like when they get back into the car. Ben calls him selfish, and he's like, hey, you're just going to confuse the boy. Like, what are you hoping to accomplish here? And Klaus explains that the day that JFK was killed was when Dave decided to enlist. And so Klaus wants to try to convince him not to enlist. Then Klaus sees some cops going towards the diner and realizes Allison could be in trouble.
This is really awful, this next segment. You've got a bunch of white people who are taunting Allison and her friends who are sitting at the counter, and you know, they pour sugar on them. Ray comes in, he sits next to Allison, he's clearly miffed with her.
Miffed is a general term.
So this is intercut with Luther, who is in the fight that he's supposed to be winning, this big fight for Jack Ruby. He starts throwing the fight because he realizes Allison's married and doesn't love him. Five and Vanya appear at the fight, and you know, Vanya's kind of like, oh my god, Luther. And it's like, do you remember him now? What the fuck? I mean, I just like, she cares about, I just don't even understand like all this shit.
I don't either.
It cuts back to what's going on at the diner. Both races, there's a kind of, there are African-American people yelling at the cops and other people outside. There are white people yelling at Allison and her friends inside. The counter guy, you know, Ray starts asking Allison about her brother. She's very distracted. And the guy behind the counter pours hot coffee on Allison. Ray then tries to intervene, and he gets taken out and beaten by the cops. Allison, you know, tries to intervene for him. She runs outside. She speaks to one of the officers and she rumors him. There are smoke bombs, all this stuff going on. She rumors the cop, who then stops beating Ray, but Ray is really shocked. Like, why did this guy stop beating me? And Ray flees from her. And at that point, at that moment, Klaus appears and grabs Allison and gets her into the car to get her out of there. Luther's asking to be hit. He wants to feel the pain. He gets knocked out. And Jack Ruby is furious with him. And while, you know, as he's coming to, Luther sees the full moon.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Lila leaves the bed after sex and goes to the pet store. She opens the treasure chest in the fish tank and finds a hotel key in it. She meets with the handler in the hotel room and calls her mom.
Ew. All right. So, and they order room service, and that's it. So what were your best parts of this episode?
Oh, Klaus and Ben. I like seeing a little bit of a different side of Ben, like him showing a little bit more like sass. And I mean, we've been seeing that a little bit more this season. He's less dependent. He's less focused only on what Klaus needs and wants and all that stuff. But also in that, he's also in many ways stopped noticing what Klaus needs and more focuses on his own. And so when Klaus has this meeting with Dave, and he explains like how much this hurts, and even though Ben is calling him selfish, this was somebody he loved, and he doesn't want to see what happened to him happen to him again. And so it's rough. Lila and Diego, I find them very funny. Not necessarily like we'll get to the twist, but like Lila and Diego, like him like going in for the kiss and her punching him in the face and him being like, ow, I don't get you. It's like, I don't understand what you want. And then she just like initiates sex and like, oh, okay, you do want this. Why didn't you just do that? And he's just like, please just be gentle. And so, yeah.
And that, she's like, no. She actually said no.
Luther and Ray, I find that delightfully awkward. Especially with Luther eating the chocolates. And I do love Luther and Allison like together, like their dynamic stuff. And so seeing, I'm conflicted about how, and I don't want this to come off as like uber feminist or whatever, however it's going to come out, but I find it interesting that the thing that they could think of for the girls this season is, hey, let's get them into relationships. Like, they obviously just needed that. It's like Allison's last marriage fell apart because she rumored people. And that's fine. I liked that dynamic of, like, I'm not using it because it is a weapon and I have used it in the past on people that I love and all that stuff. And she hasn't used it, and now she's using it for, like, a good cause and all that stuff. But I'm just kind of like, you barely knew Ray. I mean, I'm not saying that, like, 2 years or a year or however long they dated, or if they dated that long at all. I think it's odd that she's just kind of like, I guess she was trying to move on with her life, which is fine because she didn't know about what the others were up to. But I just think that Allison didn't need another thing like that in her life. I think it would have been just fine if she, like, had the whole civil rights thing going on and she, like, worked at the salon, all that stuff. Obviously it was a different time back then and it was more expected for them to get married, but, like, I don't know. Allison is from the modern times.
Can I respond to that? Because I agree with you. I think the Allison thing is like the Vanya thing. So Vanya gets the factory reset every season. Allison gets new relationship every season. And it's kind of like, and new relationship that keeps her from Luther. And yes. It's really and it's really annoying to me because
they switch it up in season 3, I will say.
Yeah, but the way it makes it look is that Allison cannot do without a man, essentially. Yes. And I feel like that there are women who are like that, certainly.
Oh, sure.
And it is sad. Much like
I just didn't think Allison was one of them.
Well, right, and there are guys that can't do without women either.
Oh, for sure.
So it's really kind of an interesting, or you know, people who can't do without a romantic relationship, maybe is the best way to phrase that. But I feel like it is, they don't explore that part of the dynamic. What they explore is, hey, factory reset. Hey, you know it's basically yeah. Thing over and over again. It's like, let's have something that is an obstruction to the relationship between Allison and Luther.
Yeah, I remember just being disappointed when she showed up and it was just like, oh, hey, baby. And I was like, oh, shit. Oh, come on, Allison, no. And yeah. And it would have also made, like, a reunion, which hasn't happened yet, but, like, the reunion that much sweeter. That, like, I think Allison also just needs time to grow as a person, because even in season 1 she was still, like, getting over her divorce and, like, losing custody of her child and having to, like, do the mandatory therapy, all that stuff. It had only been maybe a year at most since her divorce. And so, like, her just going into another fucking marriage, like, it took her a while to let Luther back into her life and, like, for her to open up like that again. And she kind of did in the day that wasn't, but, like, she kind of didn't in the day that was, which kind of makes it confusing on, like, where they were in a relationship. Like, obviously they both loved each other and she got upset about him having that one night stand. But, like, it just, I don't know. Their relationship is
why. Right. We get to see why she was upset about that. But at the same time, it's kind of like, I don't know. It's sad. Anyway, so did you have other best parts?
Yes, I did. But yeah, Luther and Ray, that's a funny scene. And Ray's a nice guy, but I don't see him as very important. I think he could have just been a character in her group that maybe flirted with her, but she kind of was holding herself back because she didn't want to fall in love again, or because she's had a lot of stuff taken away from her. And so she kind of wants to internalize a little bit more, but no. And then Allison for, like, sit in and for saving Ray. I mean, I would have done the same thing. Like, yeah. I wouldn't be able to just stand by and do nothing. And if I had powers like that, fuck yeah, I'd use them. I would have used them way more now, but either way, I would end racism anyway.
If I could, yeah, absolutely.
And the twist. I like the twist that Lila is the handler's, like, adopted daughter. And I do like and I'll probably get into this in the next episode because you get a little bit more information, but I like that Lila knows what happened to her parents and that she is adopted. so it's not like a mistake of identity of like, oh, you're my mom and nothing bad happened to my parents and we're going to make that the twist. It's like, no, the twist is simply, oh yeah, no, I work for you, I'm also your daughter. So
yeah, no, I'm an agent is basically what it comes down to. And
I'm a murder machine.
I'm a murder machine. And we get to see a lot more of that.
It's great.
It's cool. So my best parts, Klaus, obviously, and Ben. I love Allison in this episode. I love Five because I just love Five. I love the Swedes because they're just
I love the Swedes.
I mean, the way they approach the car, and the whole thing is just, like, fucking hilarious. It's like, this isn't suspicious at all. I'm going to be in a milk truck in the middle of the road.
In the middle of the night.
and walk up to you with blood spattered all over my shirt. And you're not going to, like, go, holy shit. It's just so funny.
Also, with them, like, there was a moment in the last episode, I believe, or it was whenever they went to the asylum or whatever, and they came up to the, like, security guard with milk, put it down on his desk, and he's like, it's really late for milk. And then they just shoot him. I'm just kind of like, what the fuck, dude?
The IKEA mafia.
The milk truck is not a good cover. It really isn't.
I love it so much. It is hilarious. I love how Five describes it. It's just fucking awesome. So those are my best parts. What were your worst parts?
Amnesia bullshit. I don't understand what the rules are for this. Like, do you remember that you were born in the 80s or don't you? Do you know your name is Vanya? I don't know. I'm confused. And yeah, well, like you said, like what you said of like, oh yeah, no, she's calling her Vanya. And I was like, oh yeah, because she remembered her name. But like, now that I think about it, maybe she didn't. I don't know.
I don't know.
No. And they don't even remark on the fact that, like, when after her, like, the confrontation with Luther and they had that, like, talk going into the, like, palm reading scene, like, they could have easily have said, oh, so your name is Vanya. Interesting. And they could have made a joke about that, but it's just kind of like, no, we're not going to discuss the fact that we maybe didn't know her name either way. And racist white people. No, absolutely not. We do not. That is one thing from the 60s we could leave behind.
Yeah, all of the racism. Like, I mean, it is particularly pronounced and horrible with the white people in this, but like all reason, can we just get rid of that? That would be great. But that is the worst part for me as well. I put the handler as the worst part because, you know, obviously she is a
catalyst. Just there.
Yeah, but the fact, you know, there's some things about the whole Lila thing, and it comes up more in the next episode, but you know, Lila kind of being subversive with Diego, I don't like, but whatever.
I kind of liked that.
What grade did you give this episode?
B plus, maybe.
I give it a B plus. It it's a good episode. It's not a great episode. I might not even be a B plus. It might be just a B, but I gave it a B plus.
I liked it though. Right, season 2, episode 4, The Majestic 12. In 1993, London, England, we see Lila's parents get killed, and the handler was there. She finds Lila hiding in the vent and adopts her on the spot. I guess the handler trains her how to fight and not trust anyone as she grows up. Like, she sets up this obstacle course, like a cop obstacle course kind of thing, but shoots at her throughout the entire thing. It's very funny. And she's like 7 or 8 years old when she's doing this. It's very interesting.
Yeah. Again, they've got good music. Blue is World. This is the background music is really good.
She was trained as a killing machine. Like, she was trained in several different languages, like ancient Greek or something. It wasn't Greek. I don't even remember.
No, there was Mandarin.
No, it was Mandarin, I think. I don't even know. And the handler tells Lila to protect Five. This is in the present timeline. Tells Lila to protect Five and suggest killing Diego to make her feel better. But Lila's like, no, I'm not gonna do that. And
then they have this discussion about the Swedes, which I think is funny. Go ahead.
No, go ahead if you want to talk about it.
All right. So they have this discussion about the Swedes, and you're like, because Lila's like, there were these like Swedish guys or blonde guys, whatever, that came after us. And the handler said, oh, you know, we're all working with the same goal. We have to make it look good. They can't know you're working for me. Your job right now is to protect Five at all costs. And they had an argument about it, but that is basically
what the mission is for Lila at this point.
All right, so Luther is woken up by Vanya, who is helping him recover. Vanya asks what Five left out about the apocalypse, and Luther tells her that she caused it, but not alone. Like, everybody kind of caused it, him in particular. He locked her up and worked her up enough to cause it as well, but it was mostly her fault. He doesn't say that, but I do. Then Jack Ruby gets angry at Luther for throwing the fight and fires him. Luther punches a hole through the brick wall. White man rage. And then yes.
Gorilla rage, but okay.
That too. Vanya is goes back to the car that Five is waiting at, and she's like, I'm going back to the farm. And yeah. Five is like, what the fuck? No, you're not. And then she's like, yes, I am. I want to be with my friend or whatever. Wink. Yeah. And he's just like, okay, well, can you at least be there when I need you? Like, next. And she's just like, I don't care about the apocalypse. I want to be with my farmer.
What she also says is like, new timeline, new me kind of thing. It's like that. And he says to her, that's not how it works. That is true. You can't just like pretend your past didn't happen.
Factory reset. Anyway, Allison is searching for Ray. Like, she's calling hospitals and such, and Klaus is sleeping on her couch. She talks to Klaus. She feels like she ruined her life with her power again. Klaus tries to tell her a fable about a frog and a scorpion trying to cross a river, and it doesn't have a point. And she says, the point is, frogs are bitches and we don't negotiate with terrorists.
Klaus, Mr. Fix metaphor.
What the fuck does that mean? Yeah. So she leaves to find Ray. Diego and Five talk about the Swedes trying to attack Vanya. Five mentions they need to find Reginald and how he knows that he's going to be at a gala. Elliot mentions a secret committee called the Majestic 12 that are a shadow government agency thing and are dangerous, and Reginald is probably a part of it. Like, they do some guesswork, but Reginald's most definitely a part of it. Vanya returns to the farm to live her lesbian dreams. Klaus goes up to Dave in a diner, and he talks about how he knows him, and discussing the fact that he's enlisting is a bad idea. Dave's uncle is homophobic. Oh my god, why did I say it like that? Homophobic. And goads Dave into hitting Klaus, who tells him he's trying to tell him he loves him. And he does. He hits him. It's very sad. And Ben watches somberly as Klaus leaves. It's quite sad. Yes. So Allison, she goes to the salon to see that her friends are having a meeting without her. Ray's talking to Allison outside. Ray doesn't believe that Allison only begged for the cop to leave him alone, and she doesn't tell him the truth. So he's just like, I'm not doing this, which is fair.
Yeah. So then we go to like one of those, again, they start playing Renegade. And Klaus has decided it is time to self-medicate because he just can't deal with the fact that Dave is gonna be like going back to Vietnam.
He's been 3 years sober. That's why he's been able to use his power so effectively.
Right. And so Ben's kind of like, oh, come on, don't do it. And he gets wasted in the liquor store and brings like a box of liquor back to the mansion, but finds out that the cult bus is there. And then they all chase him away. And so he runs. We then cut to the Mexican consulate. Daddy shows up at the consulate in his Rolls Royce because that's his car. Diego, Lila, and Five sneak in. And Diego has a plan. His plan is, we're going to infiltrate, identify, and extract. And Five's kind of like, and Lyle's like, what? And Five's like, whatever. But Five makes it clear to Lila before they go in. He's like, I know you. He basically says, I know you're with the commission.
I don't fucking trust you.
I don't trust you. I know you are not here.
My for idiot Diego. Brother may like just be taken in by whatever the fuck this is, but no, sir, no. I am not. This Five is not a bitch, and he's not an idiot.
This is part of the reason I love Five. He is as cynical as I am. So we cut to Luther, who is eating barbecue. He is covered in barbecue sauce, as one gets when you're eating barbecue. And he sees Allison. He's all embarrassed. They hug. They make small talk. That's super awkward.
They have a cute little like music theme that plays whenever they're together or thinking of each other or whatever. It's very sweet.
It is. Allison says that she didn't give up on him, but she needed something to hold on to, and that's why she got married. She doesn't want to talk about Ray, really.
Which is confusing. Luther, I mean, like,
But what Luther says is, like, no one gets to tell us how to deal with the end of the world, and we all have to do our own thing. And Luther tells her that everyone's here, and she's like, oh, great, when everyone's here, it's when things go sideways. He's like, well, about that.
We have 7 days.
The world's going to end in 7 days. And then we go back to the consulate, and this is part of what's so funny, is when you see Aidan Gallagher as Five dressed in his little schoolboy suit, he's like grabbing martinis and just drinking all the way through this party.
Even though, like, Diego and Lila got, like, changes of clothes, and, like, Five just didn't.
He just doesn't. He is so fucking funny. Because otherwise, do you know it's Five? No, of course
well,
not.
Well, also, Lila's dress just is not good. I do not like her dress.
No, and her hair is, like, not actually done or whatever. She always looks a little bit, I don't know, like, not entirely with it. Completely unlike the handler, who is perfectly done to a T all the time. But in any case, they go to, Diego knows Lila left the night before, and to distract him, she's like, let's dance. And he does, because he's a moron. Five's like,
she's like, this is our song.
Five's like, I'm going to go check upstairs. So he kind of blips upstairs. Daddy,
stop calling him daddy, please God.
Reginald, whatever, insisted on ballroom dance lessons, so like, you know, Diego's a good dancer, which we knew, but they both try to lead is super funny.
I love it so much.
I honestly kind of identify with Lila in this, because I tend to lead when I try to do stuff like that too. I'm terrible. So the Majestic 12 gather upstairs. Five is blinking into the closet in the room.
Well, sorry, first Diego sees Grace and wanders off. Sorry, go ahead.
Right. Wanders off to go talk to Grace.
Oh, wait, sorry. Yeah, no, he calls her mom like an idiot, but she's a random Texas lady who is Reginald's date to the gala, so she's not a robot yet.
Right, but her name is, in fact, Grace. We then also see that the Swedes have appeared as waiters.
I love that so much. Oh, I'll take care of this part. Vanya, because it's annoying, Vanya tells Sissy about the Swedes, but not her whole background. Obviously, that would freak her out if she was from the future. Vanya thinks the family would be in danger if she stays, which is true. And Sissy is like, no, but we can go somewhere else. Like, they wouldn't find her, but fine. Somewhere, and like, she'll keep her safe and not tell Carl. Like, okay, this is just no. Harlan overhears the stuff about Vanya leaving and runs off. And so everyone goes searching. They both go searching for him. And so she, like, Vanya goes into the woods because it's a large property. It's a farm. And while Sissy searches in the barn. And so Vanya's running around in the woods, and she hears a splash. I'm sorry. I understand that he's a child and maybe he's not all there mentally, but in what universe would you just, if you hear distressing news, would you just run into a lake? Like, because when you see the lake, it is not, it has like kind of a beach kind of thing. So it's not like you didn't see it coming. It's not like you, there was like,
you live there.
But it's not like there was like underbrush that like was blocking your view of the fact that there's a fucking lake right there.
Fall in is your point.
So how did that happen? How did you get to like the middle of the lake too?
Yes, like, yes, this is horseshit. So what happens? And just to clarify, so she hears this splash. Vanya runs to the beach. She uses her powers to push the water back.
Like Moses,
right. in less than 2 minutes. So this is like, it hasn't been very long at all. But she pushes the water back.
To the bottom.
He's sunk to the bottom and dead, basically. She goes in, she picks him up, pulls him out, has him on the beach, gives him mouth to mouth. And he's like dead. And
part he's of like blue mouth. Lips dead.
When she's giving him mouth to mouth, some of her power, because this is, I guess, how her power works. It's also like, I want to mention this because we had seen very briefly in the first season that Reginald had come from a place where they had dispersed these little like light particles into.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. And I was so thinking like magic, the way, resuscitation magic.
No, the way it looks is like the light particle that is part of Vanya, because Vanya is part of this weird birthing thing that I think is all the aliens. That's part of the reason Reginald wants to get all of them together. That light power, some of it transfers into Harlan while she's giving him mouth to mouth, and we see it. And it looks like, at least at a minimum, her power is going into him, but I think it is also that bigger alien power, whatever.
The it point makes me wonder
this
how.
This is horseshit. A child does not run into a lake, sink to the bottom, and drown immediately like that. That doesn't happen. People float, even little kids float. I'm sorry. It takes a while for a kid to drown in a pool or a lake or whatever. This is horseshit. I hate this plot line. It is so fucking dumb.
Proceed. What I'd like to posit is which is maybe he had bricks in his pocket. Maybe he was like, I'm done with this shit. And he just put some bricks in his pocket.
My cruel world!
And he just walked into the lake, which apparently has an immediate drop off. There's no gradual, like, sinking down
but
to the middle.
But that's not what we see. What we see is very gradual. This is bullshit. It is fucking bullshit.
Just run. He's like, maybe he pulled a Jesus and walked on water and then decided no, and then just like fell into the water, and then his bricks weighed him down, and then Vanya's like pushing the water back, and she's like, oh,
like
shit.
Moses,
like I said that, like the Red Sea, and I just like, how did this happen?
This is horse shit.
It's so funny though. It's so funny.
It is. It's
anyway,
take this seriously, like it's meaningful.
Yeah, what I said was she magically resuscitates him with sparkly magic, and I was just like, let's just add this to the laundry list of powers that Vanya has, because like, why not? Also, if this is possible just through mouth to mouth, like, do you have to have the intention of like sharing your life force with someone, or can you just? We're kidding. Like a Harry, let me think. Could it be like a Harry Horcrux situation where it just kind of happened? Like you just kind of like made a Horcrux by mistake. Maybe you didn't have the intention, but it just kind of happened. But it also makes me wonder if when Allison is making out with her husband, does she like share some of her life force with him? Did that one night stand for Luther like give her some like life force? Did Diego and give Lila some life force? Did like I'm confused. Right. Like did Dave
a
some
lot
life force?
Of bullshit.
Like I'm confused.
A lot of bullshit. Lots. Oh, bullshit.
Anyway,
is bullshit.
Luther is kicked out of his room, so he moves in with Five and the others at the old TV store. Elliot's the only one there at this point. Elliot catches him up on Five and Diego.
I get then, to do the fight scene, don't I? Say yes.
Huh?
Say I can do the fight scene.
Yeah, sure.
Okay,
because I get the boring shit always. Sissy is spooked and overwhelmed by the day because her son is a fucking dumbass. I don't care if he's like a little bit mentally slow. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that he has mental issues, but he's running into the lake. That's his problem. Like, I don't know how that happened. And I'm sorry that we're laughing about this child's death, but, like, it's so stupid. It's so stupid. And Sissy, you raised an idiot. Like, how did this happen? Did you not teach him, first of all, how to swim? Second of all, like, to not jump into a lake, like, into the middle of a lake?
Right. I mean, anyway, yeah, look.
Bad parenting.
Anyway, well, we can talk about that later. Go on.
They talk about she talks to Vanya about how shitty their lives are, and she's like, yeah, no, my son can't even talk to me. He runs into a fucking lake. Like, what am I supposed to do? And
she doesn't say that. What she says is like, my world just kept getting smaller and smaller because
until one day
my husband doesn't see me or hear me, and my son won't talk to me, so I'm like, I'm in a little tiny box, and then you came along and my world got bigger and it's so wonderful and I love you.
Are you doing this part? I thought you wanted me to do this part.
I'm sorry.
Either way. And so, like, she and before we like get to like the big fight scene, I will want to say one thing about Diego and his talk with Grace, but staying on this on topic, they make out, and your mouth must be so full of lake water that, like, I don't know if I'd want to make out with you, but, like, fine.
She has life force. There's life force.
Yeah, maybe she gave her some life force. Everyone gets life force. It's like Oprah. You get life force. You get life force. I don't give a shit. Your stupid son should have stayed away from the fucking lake. And how did he get that far? Anyway, Klaus shows up drunk to Allison's house. She's like, oh, Jesus. Then Luther and Elliot get high on laughing gas. They talk about their shitty lives. Luther tells Elliot they'll be all be dead in 7 days. That's fun. Like, Elliot shares this awful story about how his white wife cheated, like, left him for his best friend on their 10th anniversary. It's so sad. And, like, Luther's just like, yeah, my dad, like, abandoned me on the moon, and I've lost the woman I love because she doesn't love me, and she loves this other guy. And also, the world's ending. Yeah, so before we get into this fight scene, I would just like to say, I think, and this kind of goes for, like, most time travel related media, it just kind of goes across the board. I find it so stupid when somebody's just like, Mom? It's like they know who the fuck you are. They're just going to, you're just going to creep them out and be like, I'm not your fucking mother. And it's just kind of, like, I find it so stupid. Like, you say that internally, internalize that. Don't be like, Mom? Oh my God, Mom!
Diego's the one who told Five that Dad wouldn't know that you're his kid.
Exactly!
Like, you know this!
Diego's a fucking dumbass! I love him, but he's a dumbass! And him being like, Mom? It's like, what? What are you doing? We know it's your mom! Like, we don't need to be told that. Obviously, this is for, like, expositional purposes. You could have just said Grace, and then he could have had a conversation with Five of like, hey, I saw Mom. Did you see her? Or something like that. But no. Yeah. He has to go, Mommy? It's like, what? It's just, the fuck? She's going to be weirded out by that. She's also not a robot. She's an actual human being that the robot is based off of. So I'm just kind of like, what is it? Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
Yes. So it start this part that I'm going to do starts with Five, who is in the closet of the Majestic 12 meeting. He's hearing them talk about war, stuff like that. The dad seems to know that Five is there.
It's so apt that this starts in a closet like Vanya and sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
So Five, Reginald seems to know that there's someone in the closet. And so he grabs an andiron from the fire. He starts like stabbing into the closet door. Five blips into the hall and sees the Swedes there. Da, da, da. And you can tell that Five's power, like, and we've seen this before with him, like, if he blips a whole lot, his power gets diminished. It's like he needs to recharge.
That's what I like about the other powers, because you have them pretty clearly defined. Like, we know that Five, if he uses his power a lot, it's like a battery that needs to be recharged, and you need to give it some time. I don't know exactly like how much time, because obviously he couldn't blip back like in the future, but whatever, we're gonna ignore that. But like, at least they're defined. Like, what the fuck is Vanya's deal? Like, she's always like this laundry list of powers and then just like life force. It's like, what the fuck is this?
I just don't know all the stuff she can do. It's kind of like Jack-Jack and the Incredibles. So we've got his power slowly diminished because he starts to fight one of the guys. He blips, but he can't get very far, and then he can't blip again. He's like, shit. Then we start hearing Kiss's "I Was Made for Loving You," which is such
an incredible, like,
great song, and is so fucking perfect for this fight. So Five is at one end of the hall fighting one of the Swedes. Diego like comes upstairs and he's like fighting two of the other Swedes at the other end of the hall. Lila comes upstairs, and because her mission is that she's got to protect Five at all costs, she's like, you know, Diego's getting choked and she's like really tempted to go help him, but instead she goes to protect Five. She grabs a chandelier, strangles one of the Swedes with her legs. Then
the Black Widow move.
Yeah, Five then pushes the guy out the window. Five blips to the parking lot where Reginald and Grace are. Diego is like, he's trying to like fight off the other two guys. He calls out to Lila, who's like, oh well, and shrugs and runs downstairs.
Yeah, what the fuck, dude? You could have helped him at this point.
Yeah, you could have done something, you fucking bitch. But in any case, he fights off one of them completely. And then he fights off the other in this one of those hallway fights. I love this has become, or at this time was like a thing. So it was like this kind of, you get to see it from outside the building and it's going down the hallway.
It's so cool.
It is cool. They did that on Fargo also. It's like, it's a cool way to shoot it. Fargo, the TV show.
I was about to say, I don't remember that in the movie.
Yeah, no, like there's a fight with the Key and Peele actually show up in season one of Fargo, and
oh, really?
They have one of those kind of fights. It's really funny. So in any case, so Diego fights off the other one going down the hallway. It's really like great, incredible choreography. These guys are awesome. And then Five then is downstairs and he's trying to get his dad's attention, so he yells at him in ancient Greek, and because Reginald responds, like he looks at him, like he can tell that Reginald's kind of like, who the fuck are you? You know, he's having that recognition, so Five knows that it's definitely him. Mm-hmm. And Diego comes up, is like, was that dad? And he's like, yeah, it was dad. And we're all like, And that is the end of the episode.
Yeah.
What were your best parts?
Klaus. Five, Luther and Allison reunion, and music.
Yeah, I have Diego, Five.
Diego.
I like Lila in this episode. And I realized that I don't like her fucking with Diego. I mean, like screwing with his mind, but I really do love her as being a badass. So I think,
oh yeah, she's a badass awesome. Bitch. And also, like, their dance scene is so cute.
It is. I love the Swedes.
Oh yeah, the Swedes. I forgot the
Swedes are great. And Klaus. And I have kind of a question mark by Klaus because I do, you know, there is some weirdness with him, but I really
sure.
I love
Klaus. But he has pure intentions of, he has good intentions.
Yeah. What were your worst parts?
I have several. Amnesia bullshit. It's always gonna be a bad part for me. It's fucking bullshit. Vanya giving up on the apocalypse and just be like, I'm gonna live my lesbian horse dreams. It's like, I don't fucking care. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Like, why are you going back to this fucking farm? Like, I get it. It's been a month, but I get it. Like, you care about these people, sure. But like,
how do you think
wasn't the arrangement about- like once you fought? Mom, can I finish this thought really quickly? Wasn't the arrangement once you find your family, you can just leave? wouldn't that be like a proper arrangement? You fucking found your family. I know you're going to go back for her and like say goodbye and all that stuff, but like you have a great point. Hey, you're putting them in danger by being near them. You know that your life is in danger alone. You want to put these people through it? Sure, why not?
Here's my other thing. You have a power that can help stop this apocalypse that would save the person you love's life but you're not going to use it to help. You're going to save her son for 7 days. I mean, it's like fucking stupid.
What's the point? You're going to save the son for 7 days. Anyway, that's fucking stupid. Brian, the homophobe. The homophobic uncle who's just like, punch him. That's just so sad. Yeah, and then I just wrote down, why did he run into the lake? I didn't like write down my full feelings about the lake part until I reached like going into my like worst parts, and I was just like, why did he run into the lake? When I heard the splash, I remembered, oh yeah, he does drown, and I'm just like, wait, why did he run into the lake? It's shallow and then it gets deep. Like, that's how lakes work. Sure, there sometimes is a drop off, but like, it didn't look like much of one to me. Anyway,
have to point out that I watched this episode and I was reading the prologue to Elwes's book, which has a drowning in a lake. And I'm getting the parallels here, and I'm kind of like, yeah, at least in Elwes's book, it's a little more likely.
It's intentional.
It's intentional. She's trying to drown. This child is not, to our knowledge.
No, we don't know that. He could have had the bricks. Anyway, but I also need to start calling it Penelope's story. You're basically a book ahead of me, but it doesn't matter. You have to wait for me. Why did he run into the lake? Like, how did you get into the middle of the lake? How did you sink so low? Why did you not like try to like move your arms?
The bottom. You're at
like
the
he's
bottom.
Also good at moving his arms when he's upset. So I'm confused about why he didn't like try to like move his arms. Did every instinct just go out the window and just be like, I accept my fate? Like, what was the plan? Anyway,
goodbye, cruel world.
Magic resurrection powers? ? Like, what? Like, Vanya, what the fuck? Where did this come from? Like, also the fact that you were able, like, you just figured out that you have powers, like. Yesterday, like how do you have such a grasp on it that you can move fucking water like that? First of all, because I don't want to see another Yoda training montage like we did last season. We don't need it, but it seems weird. And again, it would make way more sense if she just wanted to repress her memories, and but only used it when necessary, kind of like what Allison did. But no. Mm-hmm. No. She forgot, but then she's great at it again. She could barely move a fucking boat last time, but no, she can move a whole fucking lake. Anyway, and dumbass Harlan. I'm sorry, Harlan. You are a sweet kid, and I'm sorry that you have some stuff going on in your brain. I feel you, bro. I wouldn't jump into a lake, but sorry that you would. And I'm confused about why you even went to the lake. Like, of all the places to go. Also, he's a fucking fast kid. Like, he bolted out of that, like, house, and they, like, followed after him. And by the time that they reached it, they were like, where did he go? And I was like, bitch, you just saw him run down the road. But either way, I was confused on his plan from the very beginning. Was he trying to get attention? Like, what's the plan? I'm confused. Anyway, those are my worst parts.
Yeah, what I wrote down as worst parts are Dave's uncle, Reginald, because Reginald sucks.
Oh, yeah, Reginald.
And Harlan and Vanya. I mean, I think we have Harlan and Vanya to death, and I don't
know, but it's so fucking funny.
What grade did you give this episode?
A B minus.
I gave it a B.
I was thinking a B, but then like the magic shit, like it, when I started poking holes into the Vanya shit, like it kind of, but it, oh, no, I'll give it a B. That fight scene's really good. You have to weigh it, like it comes out like just as a basic B, but like there's so much shit to unpack with just that scene alone that like it just is so much.
It almost destroys the whole episode. I mean, that's the thing, is like there is like really good shit. There's good shit with Lila. There is a good fight scene with great music, and you're like, oh my god, this is really,
you
know,
and then you remember the lake. Now
the Vanya stuff, it would be a great fucking episode, but no, we have the Vanya stuff.
And I'm not mad that she's like making out with her lesbian ranch hand. No, that's fine. Good for her. But like the fucking lake, is what bothers me.
Yeah, no, it is the weirdness with Vanya Amnesia that I think just kind of just screws the whole thing.
She forgot how to act. Well, no, she her amnesia rubbed off on Harlan, and Harlan forgot how to breathe. So I'm sorry. That was horrible.
That is horrible. I am embarrassed that you're my job.
You didn't have to go sarcasm.
All right.
Well, we have a lot
more to cover in this season. And so we are really hoping that you join us. We are also hoping that this whole Vanya thing gets resolved pretty soon. And we hope that you join us. I said that. And
cheers.